It's been a while. It's been a while. I appreciate your patience. Yes, I do. While I get another show ready for you, and here it comes. I've got it. It's coming. Thank you for waiting. Let's dance a little bit, though. Let's just dance a little bit before we get started. Why not? Come on. Yeah. Feel that? Doesn't that feel good? Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now. Oh, yeah, that feels good. That feels good. Watch me go. Oh, yeah, watch me dance. Watch this move. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, yeah. Thank you for sharing the show. Looks like you took a couple of weeks off like I did. But that's all right. A little slow, but we're picking back up again. We're back, see? A little slow, then here we come back. We're sharing. We're sharing on Apple. We're sharing on Spotify. We're sharing on Google. We're sharing on Amazon. We're sharing everywhere. No time for fooling around. Come on. Been away for far too long to sit here fooling around all day. I have to get caught up on some of these news items. And I guess I could start with people jumping into the presidential race. You got people jumping in from everywhere. You got Ron DeSantis. You know, he's in. We knew he was going to be in. But Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, has jumped into the race. And I don't know. I saw him speak. You know, I've watched him, not in person. I've just, you know, I've watched a couple of speeches he's given. He's like putting a tube sock over top of a condom. He just takes the feeling out of everything. I mean, he's not the most electric speaker in the world, not the most inspiring guy in the world, but he's in. They say Mike Pence is ready to make his announcement. Mike Pence will be jumping in. That's kind of like Bonnie and Clyde splitting up and Bonnie wants to go be president of a bank now. I mean, are we just supposed to forget all the crimes you committed with Clyde? I mean, come on. You know, it's a little much to ask for Mike Pence to just ignore the 4 years he spent with Donald Trump. But he's jumping in. Who else? You got black conservative radio host Larry Elder jumping into the race. Is it weird that every time they mention Larry Elder on the news, they say he's a black conservative radio host? Does that seem weird to you? Seems weird to me. Who else? You got Senator Tim Scott jumping into the race. Why do they call black people who want to be Republicans Uncle Toms? Why is that? That's not fair. Can't black people be conservative too? Can't black people be Republicans too? But Tim Scott is in the race. He's jumped into the race. Senator from what? From South Carolina. And don't call him a token either. You know, the first two black senators ever in history were from Mississippi and they were Republicans. Hiram Rhodes Revels in 1870 and Blanche Bruce in 1875. Both Republicans, both from Mississippi. The first two black senators ever. Now, how they got there needs some context, but we don't have time for that right now. Let's move on. Who else is jumping in? Yep. Hide your chicken nuggets. Former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, is going to waddle into the race, or he's waddling into the presidential race. Now, I hear people saying, Chris Christie, he's only getting in to take on Trump. He's being funded just to take out Trump in the debates. I don't know. I don't know about all that. I think he is delusional enough to think he can go around the country going, I'm from New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. That, you know, that's his whole rap. That's what he does. He goes, I'm from New Jersey. I'm a Republican from a blue state. You got to work together. I'm from New Jersey. So we'll see. I don't know. Who else? Oh, you got Dr. Cornel West jumping into the race. Professor from Princeton University. Not a Democrat, not a Republican. No, not jumping in as a Dem or a Republican. Jumping in as a communist, I assume. What is the party? I don't know. But doesn't Dr. Cornel West kind of remind you of a slave from like 1870 that got his freedom and got educated? What'd I say? I'm telling you, go pull up videos of him on YouTube, and you tell me he doesn't remind you of a slave from 1870 that got his freedom and got educated. Now he's, you know, running for office. You go look and see and tell me I'm wrong. And before you get offended, I would appreciate it if someone would ask him, listen, was that the look you were going for? You know, you don't know. He very well may say, yeah, no, that's exactly the look I was going for. A slave from 1870 that got freed and got his education. I don't know, because he'll be out there. Trust me, he's going to be out there a little bit, even though, I mean, this isn't, I mean, he's not really running, is he? But all the networks will be scared to death to not give him time for fear of being accused of, you know. So he'll be out there at least a little bit. But I don't know if he's going to get into debates because, number one, the DNC does not want to have anybody challenging Joe Biden in debates. Do you agree or disagree with that? The DNC does not want to hold debates with who's the other guy? Who's the Kennedy that jumped in on the Democratic side? Manchin, if Manchin really is going to run, they don't want to hold debates with these guys. So Cornel West, I don't know that he's going to be out there enough, and because you have to have money. You have to have money. You got to buy your way into these primaries. Then you got to travel around to the different states, you know, to campaign. So I don't know if he's going to raise money. And I don't know if anybody, you know, or if he's going to be able to sustain a real campaign. But he'll be out there. He'll be out there enough. So somebody ask him, was that the look you were going for? Who else? Am I missing anybody? I mean, you got Marianne Williamson on the Democratic side. Okay. You got, you know, several other people on the Republican side, Asa Hutchinson, and yeah, I don't care. I don't care. Am I missing anybody important? Anybody that's recently declared they're running? No Adam Kinziger, huh? No Adam. I was positive that Adam Kinziger was going to run for president. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not counting it out yet, but I don't know. As recent as January of this year was the last time I've seen anyone really ask him about it. And he said it would be fun to run against Trump, but that he's not planning on running. So we'll see. So that's it. Let's move on to the next news item. The debt ceiling, huh? The debt ceiling deal got done, huh? Oh, before I move on, I will say I have a show ready, a show where I will explain in detail how to defeat Donald Trump, because Donald Trump and Joe Biden are also running, by the way, for president in 2024. I can tell you, I can provide the information in detail exactly how you beat Donald Trump. So if that is a power you wish to possess, be sure to keep a lookout for that in the next couple of episodes or so. All right. One other thing, a quick correction. I must do this because I'm about honesty, fairness, and accuracy here. I made a mistake a few episodes ago. I don't even remember which episode it was, but I have to actually go back into the episode to make a correction because it's so important to me, and I've never done that before, and I think we're up to like 91, 92 episodes, including this one. I said in an episode, oh, it was the Trump Town Hall, the first Trump Town Hall episode I did, the Trump Town Hall reaction, I think is the title of it. I said they should have asked Donald Trump why his taxes showed he didn't make any charitable contributions. A fact check shows Donald Trump did indeed make charitable contributions in the years that he was president, except for the last year, except for 2020. So it doesn't necessarily say it's his salary, because he was always saying, I'm donating my salary to charity. I'm donating my whole presidential salary to charity. Well, it doesn't show that the money that he's donating is necessarily his salary. The taxes don't show that. It's just income. But he did donate. I think there was $1 million donated to one federal agency, and then there was another donation. So I stand corrected. I want to clear that up. I want to fact check that Donald Trump did make charitable donations while he was president. There were things flying around on social media saying his taxes showed that he didn't, and I fell for that. So I'm correcting it now. All right, let's move on to the debt ceiling. So the deal is done. Joe Biden, Kevin McCarthy, they got the deal done, right? So congratulations, Joe Biden, right? I mean, No. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to come off as constantly negative against Biden because I'm not. It seems like I'm always criticizing Biden. It's a great win. It's a great win for Biden, right? We'll leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. It's a great win for Biden. Debt ceiling's done. So, yeah. It's the debt ceiling, people. It's the debt ceiling. It's not the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's not the Paris Agreement. He didn't negotiate peace in the Middle East. It's the debt ceiling. It's got to get done. Just because the media spent 2 months telling us the sky is falling, impending doom is coming, it's going to be Armageddon. We're about to default. We're about to default for the first time. They spent 2 months telling us, oh, you better run out and stock up on bottled water and sardines. It's all coming to an end. Just like they do every time. Every time we go, we have this situation. They tell us, oh, Armageddon is coming. We might default. We're not. I told you that. I told you a few episodes ago. Pay no mind. We're not going to default. They do it every time. They play this game every single time. And then at the last minute, oh, hey, guess what? We made a deal. We came up with a deal. Can you believe it? Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it because it's the debt ceiling. It's got to get done. It's like defense spending. They can haggle over how much we're going to spend on our military every single year. But we're going to spend something. We're going to spend something. It's going to get done. A defense bill is going to get done in the budget every single year. We're never going to go up. Oh, we couldn't figure it out. So we're going to spend zero on defense this year. That's never going to happen. Same thing with the debt ceiling. It's never going to happen. It's always going to get raised. I was going to play clips. I don't know if I want to. Because, again, it seems like I'm trying to take something away from Biden, but I'm not. It's great. You know, listen, but I mean, you listen to people on the left in left-leaning media talk about this. You'd have thought Biden got Johnny Depp and Amber Heard back together or something. Got them to reconcile their differences. I mean, one guy on MSNBC, he said Joe Biden used the Jedi mind trick on these Republicans. What? What Jedi mind trick? I think I'm going to just play one clip. Just one clip. Because what I'll say about the debt ceiling is Joe, President Biden, you can't make unforced errors. You know, this negotiation, this whole debt ceiling negotiation, and I'm using the word negotiation, you're going to see why in a minute, shouldn't have been something that panicked people. All right? It shouldn't have been something where Mitch McConnell, Yertle the Turtle, has got to come out and calm people down. You know, I'm not going to lengthen the show by playing clips, but I could play you the clip of Mitch McConnell, if you haven't heard it, of him coming out and saying, everybody relax, everybody calm down, it's going to be fine, we're not going to default, we're going to get it done. Well, that's Joe Biden's job. That's Joe Biden's job from the very beginning, to say, everybody relax, everybody calm down, media, don't even start talking about default and freaking out the markets. We're going to get the debt ceiling done because we always get the debt ceiling done. We have to. So, but listen to this clip that, unfortunately, played on conservative media. Like I said, that's what I'm here for. If you're center left, if you're center right, if you're maybe far left, far right, you don't necessarily ever listen to media from the other side because you just can't take it. Well, hopefully I can present it to you here. Hopefully you can take this show and I can present it to you here and you can see what they're saying. It's important to see and know what the other side is saying. So listen to this clip from conservative media.
Even dumber with this idiot, Biden. Well, I'm not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling. In other words, raising the amount of debt because we're still spending money we don't have. Very simple. I'm not going to negotiate. Okay. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre. Biden has repeatedly said, I will not negotiate on the debt ceiling, even though he had no choice. The Democrats are not in charge of the House.
We don't see any negotiation here. We don't see anything that needs to be discussed. It's pretty simple and it's pretty straightforward. We believe that Congress has a constitutional duty to get this done. The president's stance on negotiation stands, right? Which is he does not believe, as it relates to the debt ceiling, that we should be negotiating. We've been very clear. We're not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling. He never came to the table to negotiate on the debt ceiling. That was not something that occurred. That is not something that's happening. We've been very clear. We're not negotiating. negotiating around the debt ceiling. When you think about the debt limit, it is not negotiable. We should not be negotiating on the debt ceiling. There's no negotiation that we will be having. The debt ceiling, it should be done without negotiation. There should be no negotiation. This should be done without conditions. We should not have to negotiate on this. Look, we've been very clear. We're not going to negotiate. We're just not going to negotiate on that.
I stopped that. That goes on for a full 3 minutes. A full 3 minutes. I played you less than a minute of Karine Jean-Pierre saying over and over and over again, we're not negotiating. There's going to be no negotiation. No negotiation on the debt ceiling. And then they go, okay, we're negotiating. That's an unforced error. You can't do that. You just can't. Now listen to me now. For people out there going, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. But I have a feeling for Republicans, conservatives, Trump voters, doesn't matter. For Democrats, liberals, Biden voters, doesn't matter. But for people who are out there, the ones who decide elections, I keep telling you, the ones who decide elections, the ones that are like, I could take or leave either one of them. I really don't care. You must inspire these people to vote. When you flip-flop like that, you do not inspire them to vote, and you certainly don't inspire them to vote for you. If you get involved in politics, you start paying attention. Maybe you're not really paying attention, but this Trump guy makes you start saying, maybe I should pay attention to what's going on here. That sort of thing turns people off. When they hear one side, we're not going to negotiate. We're going to stand strong, and here are the things we want. And you go, oh, yeah, I like those things. I like those things they're fighting for. And then they go, okay, we're going to negotiate those things away. It's not good. They can't make that unforced error. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to agree. This show isn't about agreement. It's not about changing your mind. It's just about putting stuff out there and trying to help. I'm trying to help here. I think there's different ways to look at things, different ways to see things. I don't consider myself liberal. I don't consider myself Democrat. And so it would behoove people to listen to somebody who says, man, that's frustrating. That's annoying. Why'd you spend all that time saying, I'm not going to negotiate, when you know, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're absolutely going to negotiate. You don't hold all the power in this government. It's a divided government. What do you mean you're not going to negotiate? Of course you're going to negotiate. The other thing I'm going to say on the debt ceiling, and I'm going to move on. I don't want to hear about hypocrisy. I just don't. I don't want to hear about the hypocrisy. Oh, when Donald Trump was president, he said this. And then they played a clip of Donald Trump saying no negotiation on the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling is sacred. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from the left, because I said 2-3 years ago, make it the standard. All of these things that the Republicans are saying and doing, not answering subpoenas, not showing up to Congress when you're called to question, in a hearing, Donald Trump saying, I'm going to take money from the military and divert it to building a wall. You know, Congress, they allocate where money goes, not the president. But Donald Trump said, I'm going to take it because it's a national emergency. I'm going to use it to build the wall. All these different things, these unusual things that Donald Trump did and Republicans went along with, I said, you really ought to be making this a standard. You really ought to be saying to them, hey, we know you guys tend to get amnesia when you're not in power. So would you mind putting this in legislation? Would you mind making this an executive order that you're doing this so we can make sure when our turn comes to divert money, maybe to fight gun violence in this country, our Democratic president won't have an issue doing it? Would you make it the standard when you want to have an investigation into Hunter Biden and you want Joe Biden to show up to be questioned, but he says, no, I'll do a take-home test, though. Can we put that in writing that that's okay for a president to do that? Can we put it in writing that it's okay for a president to exert executive order way before he was even president? I said, make it the standard. And this is yet another thing, the debt ceiling, that the Democrats should have said back then, we know you get amnesia. We want to make sure this is going to be the new standard, that the debt ceiling will be raised every time, mandatory, without a fight. But they didn't do it. So I don't want to hear cries about hypocrisy. You know, if you keep getting kicked in the balls, the first couple of times I'm going to feel sorry for you. After that, I'm going to say, when are you going to cover your balls? I'm getting worked up. I was trying not to get worked up. It's hot in here. Job numbers, let me just say, good job numbers, right? Biden deserves credit for the good, the recent job numbers came out for May jobs. Deserves credit for that. Good. I'm an American first. Any good news for America, I'm happy. I don't care who the party is. People are working, I'm happy. Bills are getting paid, I'm happy. But, I'm going to go back to it. Again, this is just my friendly advice from somebody in the middle. I really wish Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, she does it too, she likes to tweet it too, stop going back from day one and comparing to past president, past administrations. Oh, we've cut the deficit more than any administration ever did. Blah, 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 blah. We've created more jobs in blah, blah, blah than any administration ever did. And blah, 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 blah. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. You can't do that. It's too easy. It's too easy to call you a liar. I gave you the analogy way, way, way back when they started doing it. It's like the power goes out at my house and Joe Biden comes and turns it back on and tells me he created electricity. No, you didn't, Joe. It was already there. You just turned it back on for me. So the economy was still partially shut down when Joe Biden took office, and jobs had to be recovered, had to be restored. So to say we've created 12 million jobs, not really. Not really. It takes away the credit that I feel like that he can take right now for the 300 and some odd thousand jobs, the jobs that have been created in the last year and a half, 2 years, not from day one. Go ahead. Call those recovered jobs. You can take credit. I thank you for restoring my electricity. I thank you for restoring the economy. That's the credit Joe Biden should be taking, because getting COVID under control was the number one reason he got elected. The number one reason. And he did it. He achieved it. And it wasn't easy. You know, we tend to have a memory loss. It wasn't easy to get that vaccine out. He was right. He said when he was campaigning, hey, coming up with the vaccine is one thing. Getting that thing distributed, that's the hard part. And he was right. And God bless our military. You know, when I got my vaccine, my two shots, I went to one of the big locations that were being run by the military. And man, they ran it efficiently. You got in line, the line moved along, you went in, boom, you sat down, they asked you, they got your information, they said, okay, move along to the next line, you got in the next line, yeah, move along, ask you information, boom, shot in your arm, all right, go over there, sit there for 15 minutes so we can make sure you don't fall over dead, all right, you're done, get out, next. I mean, it was fantastic. I did not have a problem until I had to go to a private business. And I'm not going to say who they were, because I don't want CVS suing me for saying they screwed up. But when I went to get my booster shot, I think the woman gave me somebody else's shot. Who knows what she gave me? She probably gave me the shingles vaccine. Because after she gave me the shot, she gave me the wrong vaccination card. It was somebody else's card. I said, that is not me. She said, oh, what's your name? I think she gave me somebody else's shot. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Joe Biden got the vaccination. That thing had to be frozen. It was hundreds of millions of shots. I mean, they ran it, man. They ran it well. They got the shots out. They got the COVID under control in this country. And it allowed us to continue to reopen the economy. So take credit for that, Joe. Don't take credit for, I've cut the deficit by $1.7 trillion. We had to wrestle the credit card out of your hand. It was like an 18-year-old girl that you got to wrestle the credit card out of your hand, and 6 months later, she's crowing about how much money she's saving. Joe Manchin had to stop Biden and the Democrats from spending $3.5 trillion. And now he wants to crow about how much he's cut the deficit? I mean, like I say, credit was where credit is due. Criticism where criticism is due. That's what it's about being in the middle. That's what it's about being unbiased. I apologize if it bothers you, but I just don't know any other way to talk about these things. Let's move on. I'm going to move on to the last news item. I'm going to try and keep this show short. What else is in the news? Oh, Anheuser-Busch, Target, transgender. Do I really have to do this? Refresh my memory. Wasn't it just not so long ago that we felt we had to scramble to pass some sort of legislation to make sure the Supreme Court didn't make interracial marriage illegal again? I mean, Yeah, we've gotten a little bit off the rails, I think it's fair to say. We had to make sure we fought to keep black people and white people able to get married. I mean, if they overturn interracial marriage, how is that going to affect interracial porn? My favorite genre of porn. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Now, I did an episode entitled Transgender to Be or Not to Be. Actually turned out to be one of my more popular episodes. And I said in it, I don't necessarily completely understand transgender issues. I don't completely know exactly how you deal with the whole bathroom issue or sports issues. I don't know. I don't completely understand how someone born a male can compete in female sports. You know, how you deal with some pervert, you know, who wants to go peep at women or young girls dressing as a woman and saying, hey, I'm a woman. But I said in the show, blame the pervert. Don't blame the transgendered woman. Blame the pervert. They're the one doing something wrong in that scenario. So we got to figure it out. That's all. We got to figure it out. You got to listen and you got to learn and you got to respect and have compassion. You know, I listen to a show, a Politics Girl. I'll give people a shout out even if they don't give me a shout out. I listened to an episode of Politics Girl podcast. She had a transgender woman on and the woman was explaining, you know, your gender is, I'm going to mess up what she said. I'm paraphrasing. Your gender is who you were born as, who you feel you were born as. Your sexuality is who you fall in love with, who you want to be with. So she was clearing up the confusion that I had over how could a man decide he wants to be a woman, he feels like a woman, but then be attracted to women? Why didn't he just stay a man? So this person was explaining, there's a difference between gender and sexuality. I found that interesting. I learned something. That's all. You got to learn. You got to listen. And even after learning and listening, you still may not understand it. Because like I said, I still don't completely understand. But I don't understand why I got to watch a commercial about a woman running, rubbing cream on her butt crack. I don't understand that either. But I don't hate the woman in the commercial rubbing the cream on her butt crack. Don't act like you don't know what commercial I'm talking about. With that woman, she's got that cream and she's, oh, you can rub it here. You can rub it there. You can rub it on your underarms. You can rub it in your butt crack. That butt crack commercial makes me more uncomfortable than a drag queen or a transgender woman or two men kissing. I'll be honest with you. We keep being told. We just keep being told something is going to end. It's society as we know it is going to end if we allow gay marriage. If we end don't ask, don't tell, our military is going to collapse. Something's always going to bring down society. We must protect the children. So I guess this is how we protect the children now, by tanking private company stock. You know, people are going to scratch their head. Hey, what happened to my 401k? Oh, your 401k was invested in blue chip companies like Target and Anheuser-Busch and Disney. It's silly. It's silly. LGBTQ issues are not a threat to society. Hate is a threat to society. And a lot of this is hate. And the problem with hate, if you're sensitive, turn your radio down or your, whatever you're listening to, your cell phone down for 30 seconds, because I'm going to say some things. People get nervous. Some people are superstitious. They think you can speak things into existence. So I'm being, you know, respectful of people who have superstitions. There's a problem with hate. Hate doesn't stay where you want it. Hate also isn't limited in the way that you want it. You may say, man, I just don't like these people. I don't like these drag queens. I don't like these transgender people. I don't like what they're doing to the country. You have hate. You have hate for people that you don't understand. Makes you uncomfortable. It's only a matter of time before that hate catches up with technology for someone. It's only a matter of time before someone says, you know what I should do? I should strap a bomb to a drone and fly it into a parade. Yeah, I see them using drones over there to kill people over in Ukraine. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a drone. I'm going to strap a bomb to it, and I'm going to go kill people that I hate. Now, you may say, oh, I didn't want that. I didn't want that to happen. Well, yeah, that's the problem. The hate doesn't stay where you want it. It's why whenever we have a parade as it is, we got to park dump trucks, big dump trucks, to block off the streets so some nut doesn't come barreling through in his car. So we're already seeing it. You want to make it worse? The hate doesn't stay where you want it. It ends up at a Republican softball game or a country music festival or a Christmas parade or at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, where in 2017 a man killed 26 people and wounded 22 because of anti-Christian sentiment. He hated Christians. Now, we as a people need to figure out LGBTQ plus issues as they arise in sports and business and schools, and we can either do it with hate or we can do it with understanding and patience. What else in the news? Oh, thank you, Denver Nuggets. Thank you, Denver Nuggets. Thank you for giving me someone else to watch in the NBA Finals but LeBron James. I think as of recording of this show, the series is tied 1-1, I think. I'm pulling for the Nuggets. I am. Because you know, Denver, your Broncos aren't going to do anything for you. What else in the news? There's a bunch more. There's a bunch more I could talk about. But let's wrap it up by circling back to Biden. Biden's biggest threat to losing in 2024 is, number one, gravity, of course. Obviously, this guy just cannot stay upright. So gravity is his number one enemy right now. Next are Democrats, his own party. It's not Republicans. It's not DeSantis or Pence or Trump. It's Democrats. Now, Democrats get furious. I mean, furious when I talk the way I did earlier about the debt ceiling or about the job numbers. They hate it. Furious. And I don't know why. I truly don't know why, because I know if it was reversed and if Donald Trump was president and said, look how many jobs I'm creating in my first, people would have said, you're not recreating anything. Those jobs are coming back from businesses that were closed. I know that. I know it for a fact. If Donald Trump said, I've cut the deficit by blah, 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 people would say, well, no, because that was spending for the pandemic. We spent $6 trillion on the pandemic, and now we're not. So I know people would see it exactly the way I'm seeing it if it was reversed. So I have no clue why people get angry when I say things like that. But I say it because, as I say, I don't know how to have half a conversation. I got to talk honestly. I got to be fair. I got to be consistent. And I hope that people will listen to that and they'll go, he's making a point. And then they'll pick something up. They'll learn something from this show that maybe they're not going to learn from other shows on the left who don't want to talk like that. And they're certainly not going to listen to it from the right, because the right certainly isn't going to present it in the way that I'm presenting it, as fair as possible, and saying, look, I'm on your side. Credit where credit is due, criticism where it's due. I hope people will listen so that they can say, we do have to get better. We do have to tighten things up a little bit. You know, we do make mistakes here that could hurt us with independents, with people in the middle, with center left, with center right. Things like this. Listen to this report from about 3 months ago about Democrats in Washington, D.C. wanting to revise the criminal code to make sentencing for violent crimes reduced. They wanted to reduce the sentencing for violent crimes. Listen to this report.
Mayor Muriel Bowser is proposing legislation to roll back some of the newly approved criminal code that reduced penalties for some crimes. This coming as House Republicans prepare to strike down the district's new criminal code before it even takes effect.
Let me make sure you understand. This is recent. The Democrat-controlled Washington, D.C. Council comes up with this new criminal code that reduces sentencing for gun charges for carjacking. Now, everything in D.C. has to be approved by Congress. You know, we always hear about this, how Washington, D.C. does not like the fact that they don't have statehood. They want to be a state and be able to pass their own laws, but laws in D.C., have to be approved by Congress. And it's always Republicans shooting down laws that they want to pass, that the D.C. Council wants to pass. Well, not this time. The Democrats in D.C. on the council came up with such a crazy, crazy set of changes to the criminal code. It forced the Democratic mayor, Bowser, and a lot of Democrats in Congress and Joe Biden to say, oh, we got to vote against that. Now, how do you do that? How do you come up with the idea of reduced sentencing for gun charges, for carjackings? How do you do that right now, at this time, especially in Washington, D.C., one of the most dangerous cities in the country, particularly for carjacking? How do you come up with an idea to reduce sentencing for that and put that on the plate of Democrats to be forced to vote for. Whose side are you on? So that, you can't make mistakes like that. How about this idea that if you have good credit and you want to get a mortgage, you're going to pay more so that someone who doesn't have so good a credit can pay less? How about that idea? You think conservative media pounced on that one? Take a listen to this.
Starting in May, a new federal rule will subject homebuyers with good credit scores to higher mortgage fees, while riskier buyers will get more favorable mortgage terms. This is part of an effort to try and get more first-time and low-income buyers into the world of home ownership. And joining us right now to talk more about how this could play out.
I'm going to cut this clip. That interview, that's on CNBC. The host there went on to talk to a couple of different people about it. There was one guy who was trying to say, oh, no, it's not what you're saying it is. And then he kind of went back and said, yeah, okay, it is what you're saying it is. It's people with good credit having to pay more so that people with, like I said, I don't want to say bad credit, not bad credit, but not as good credit, paying less to, you know, encourage people with less income who might be a little riskier to make it easier for them to get a mortgage. Again, how many times have you heard me say it? I get the idea. I get the idea. Home ownership is a great thing. Home ownership is great for the economy. Every single time with the Democrats, with the progressives, I don't know if this is a progressive thing pushing this. I don't know if this is Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Alexandria Applebottom Jeans Ocasio-Cortez pushing this kind of stuff. But it's like every single time they come up with an idea, it seems to have to do with, well, if we can get somebody else to pay more, these people over here can pay less. It's not good. It's not good. What's my incentive to keep my good credit rating? What's my incentive to improve my credit rating? When I want to go buy a house, when I wanted to buy my first house, the first thing I said was, I got to fix my credit. I got to improve my credit. I got to pay down my debt. So now you're going to have people going, oh, well, I guess I don't have to do that. If I do that, I might end up paying more. So I'll go ahead and get this mortgage, not paying off my debt. And now maybe I run into trouble. Now maybe I can't afford the mortgage. It's just, these ideas range from wacky to stupid. Reducing the sentences for carjackings. Saying to people that have higher credit, a better credit, we're going to have you pay more for a mortgage so people who don't have good credit can pay less. It doesn't make any sense. It's silly. It's silly. I tell you these things not to hurt Democrats, not to criticize Democrats. Like I said, hopefully to help, because the debt ceiling is done and it expires in 2025. You know what else expires in 2025? The Trump tax cuts for the middle class. So I ask Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Alexandria Disco Inferno Ocasio-Cortez, how are you going to pay for that? In 2025, when the debt ceiling expires, I don't care who's in office, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or black radio conservative host Larry Elder, how are you going to pay for it? I know no one, not a Democrat, not a Republican, doesn't want to expend those tax cuts for the middle class. So how are we going to pay for it? And if they give me the same old answer, oh, we can pay for it by raising taxes just a little bit on the ultra wealthy, I'll ask it again. How many times are you going to try and spend that same dollar? Ooh, that was a good one. That was a good episode. I like that episode. Now watch me dance. Watch me dance. I'm going to get a little line dance going in here. Come on. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, follow, rate the show. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, anywhere you get podcasts.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
I really do appreciate you sharing. I know people are sharing. Like I say, I don't have the means to do a whole lot of advertising. So when I see my numbers go up, it's not anything that I'm doing. It's people out there sharing the show, talking about the show. I really appreciate it. Please continue to do that. But please also, if you could, just go and follow the show or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anywhere, and give it a rating. You know, there are some people who hear the show who don't particularly like it. And it seems those are the people who just love to go give a bad rating. Whereas the people who enjoy the show or say, oh, that was okay, they don't. So if you could, it would really help me out. Get me on the map with some of these platforms and hopefully grow the show. Let me dance a little bit. Go. Ooh, watch that. Look out. Oh, you can't see it? That's because I'm not on YouTube. Yet. Not on YouTube yet. Stay tuned.